Welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. Coming up a little later in the show today, we'll talk with Jim Weimer, and we're going to talk about the game Friday night between Port Huron High and Port Huron Northern, and it should be an awful lot of fun, as we'll have the game for you right here on WPHM coming up at 7 o'clock on Friday night. It's brought to you by your local McDonald's, Blue Water Area Transit, Leslie Clark Law, and Subway of Marysville, Lens Pool and Spa, Hungry Howie's, and Liuna Local 1075. Right now, though, we're going to talk a little college football as Paul Costanzo joins us for his weekly visit. A busy fatherly day for Paul Costanzo.
It is. I'm in a middle school gymnasium, and they're putting bleachers away, so I apologize for that noise.
That'll be good. Who won the volleyball match?
The seventh grade match was won by Fort Gratiot. The eighth grade match was won by Central Middle School. So we've got some rivalry week stuff going on at the middle school level as well.
Good stuff. All right, let's start with Michigan, where we can say the good news is their defense was stellar last week. The bad news is the offense is still a little wonky. But they got the win. Does this take any heat off of Jim Harbaugh, at least for the time being?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. It was an important win, and it was one that I think if people looked at Iowa as a very respectable opponent. So I think it was a nice win for them defensively. Their offense still has to perform against someone that isn't Rutgers before I think people will start to feel comfortable at all. But for the time being, I think that people have cooled down a little bit. They've got a couple weeks before they have the Penn State, Notre Dame, and mini gauntlet there. So I think that for the time being, people have chilled out.
Yeah, and they should get their third straight win this week when they take on Illinois at home.
Yeah, well, it's even on the road. But yes, they should definitely beat Illinois. Because Brandon Peters, the former Michigan quarterback, is out, it looks like, with a concussion. So Michigan playing against Brandon Peters' backup. If you lose that one, then people are going to be angry again.
Speaking of mini gauntlets, Michigan State is on one, and obviously, you know, the Ohio State game. I know Mark D'Antonio tried to make it feel like it was closer than it was, but if you don't execute even just a couple of times against Ohio State, you get what you got, a 24-point drubbing.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they came up with a great defensive game plan, and you know, they fumble a couple times in their first two possessions, and so now all of a sudden you're not capitalizing on the fact that Ohio State hasn't scored. Because with Ohio State, the way their offense is, holding them, like making them punt, feels like a turnover. Like, it feels like a huge play. So to not be able to capitalize on that momentum early was, you know, huge for MSU. And I thought they handled themselves pretty well for the first couple quarters, and then Ohio State's talent just completely took that game over.
I mean, it's 17-7, and you've got a guy wide open for a touchdown, and you completely miss him. After actually throwing a couple of really good passes, you completely miss the guy, have to settle for a field goal, and then they come right back, like, within a minute and score on a long touchdown run. At that point, you know the game's over.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing, too, is when you've got a chance to tackle T.K. Dobbins and give your very good defense a chance to, you know, work from the 20, you got to take it. You don't have to use the, you know, all-out, try to punch the football out of the guy's hand play. Like, that's not the time for that. I think that was a big mistake. Not capitalizing, and you had the wide open guy to score a touchdown, was absolutely huge. And then I think they took unnecessary chances on defense when they got behind. And, that turned into, like you said, the 24-point drubbing.
They go to Wisconsin this week. This one, what do they have to do to not make this seem hopeless?
Well, Wisconsin's offense is not as dynamic as Ohio State's, that's for sure. And Wisconsin's going to try and beat you over the head with the run game as much as they can, and Jonathan Taylor. So the good news is that I think Michigan State is better equipped to stop them than they were to stop Ohio State, mainly just because nobody's equipped to stop Ohio State's offense. But the bad news is that now you're playing against Jonathan Taylor, who is a better version of J.K. Dobbins. So it's going to be tough, but their defense is really just going to have to keep them in there, because Wisconsin's defense is maybe as good as Ohio State's.
Maybe the most entertaining game of the week. I don't know if you saw any of SMU's Tulsa's overtime game, won by SMU 43-37.
I saw the very end. The very end of regulation. I said Tulsa send it, or SMU send it to overtime, and then I could not keep my eyes open for overtime. So that was the end.
I know you were tired from all the tension in that Notre Dame game with Bowling Green.
I was, yes, just holding my breath for 60 full minutes.
Yeah, because there was a lot at stake there as to whether the Irish would get to 60 points or not.
It was a 46.5 point spread, Dennis. That was not in the bag until the very end. So there was a lot riding on it.
I don't know what the spread is for the St. Louis-Atlanta baseball game, but just in case you don't know, it's 12-0 St. Louis in the top of the second, and they've got the bases loaded with one out.
Oh, nice.
They scored 10 in the first. So anyways. All right, number one, Alabama takes on number 24, Texas A&M. Does A&M have any shot at pulling off the upset?
No. You got more? No, they don't. A&M, I think they're a talented team. They're good. They're not anywhere near Alabama, and Alabama's coming off a bye week, so there's no chance for A&M to kind of catch Alabama sleeping. I don't think so. I don't think that A&M has a shot in this one.
Is it just me, or is that what college football has been lacking this year that we've gotten the last few years, that by now there's been a real major upset in the season that we haven't stopped talking about, and I can't think of one right now, unless I missed
something. You're 100%. Yeah, you're 100% right. There hasn't been one. The top six has been the top six all season long. I mean, they've moved around a little bit as far as who's in what place. We have not had a major upset yet. And, I want to say, I know it's coming, but I guess that's why they're major upsets, if we don't know when they're coming. the top teams look so good right now, and they look like, only they can knock each other off at the moment. We know that's not true. We know something weird's going to happen, because it always does. But as of now, there's a clear hierarchy.
All right. In the Big Ten, Penn State and Iowa on paper could be a good game. Why is it that I have so much trouble every year maybe 5 years, believing that Penn State is as good as everybody says they are?
I don't know, because if you're like me, you think that they look good, and then every once in a while you remember that James Franklin is their head coach, and you think, yeah, that could go wrong really quickly. I think that the interesting thing about them this year is, there's not a big name that is leading them. A couple of years ago, it was, Saquon Barkley, obviously. And even last year with, Trace McSorley still at quarterback and Miles Sanders at running back. And so you knew what they had. This year, they're a no-name team player. I mean, KJ Hamler's a little bit of a name, but he's not a household name for a college football fan. So, I think that's playing into it, but they're just absolutely blasting everybody they play outside of Pitt.
After watching Notre Dame roll Bowling Green, you get to watch Notre Dame USC this week. What's the rundown on this one?
It's still a rivalry. I'm happy that it's going to be 40 degrees in South Bend, Indiana, because the kids from Southern California aren't as happy about that as the kids who live in Indiana all year. But, Notre Dame's real good right now. They're playing really well offensively and defensively. USC's dangerous, though. I mean, they've got three incredible receivers, so it's going to be a tough one.
The game that I imagine will get the most hype, so I hope it doesn't disappoint, is number 5 LSU taking on number 7 Florida. Why will this be a good game, or why won't it be?
It'll be a good game, I think, because we get to see LSU's offense, their revamped offense, finally play against a top-level defense. And we saw them play Texas, and obviously Texas is a good team, but they aren't necessarily a good defensive team. So now we get to see what Joe Burrow can do against that, very good Florida defense. That's what I do. I think that that's going to be a fun one. The only thing that worries me is Florida coming off of an emotional, very physical game against Auburn last week. Now they have to go to LSU. That's going to be tough for them. So that could make it get out of hand. But I do. I have high hopes that that will be a fun game down in Baton Rouge.
All right. And now I'm going to see how you wiggle out of this one.
I can't. Okay.
Friday night, the 53rd annual Crosstown Showdown. Port Huron High Big Reds, Port Huron Northern Huskies. Who do you like this year? Who are you picking?
So I saw the Big Reds play last week against Warren Cousineau, and I mean, they looked very good. Cousineau obviously is down this year, but you know, PH looked very, very good. And they looked good with, you know, some big-time players, some of their, you know, top-level players not playing. So I was very impressed with that. We know what Northern has, I think, because it's very similar to last year. I'm covering the game, so I think that means I don't have to pick, right? Like,
I'm covering the game, and I'll go on record. I took the Huskies this year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay, so then just to balance it out, I'll take PH. But, no, I don't know. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a really good game. This is probably as good as both teams have been since, what, 2010?
Yeah, it's been a while. Like, we've had good games. Generally, you know that one team's coming in having a really good year and the other team's coming in having not a good year has kind of been the pattern for the last, I don't know, maybe 15 years, Paul, with maybe one or two exceptions. But this year it is so even and so hard to call that I'm really, like, legitimately interested to see how this plays out.
Yeah, I'm the same, and I'm excited that the Times Herald has asked me to cover it because it'll be fun to be right up close to it. But I agree with you. Like I said, if you keep coming back to 2010, I think that was Pat Connell's first year there. Northern won that game 10-0, and that was the Port Huron High team. Justin Black was the quarterback. Mark Chapman was still playing receiver for them. So it was before PH went on their little run where they were, you know, the best team in the area for a couple of years. So, yeah, I think that coming in, this game has as much hype as any I've ever covered.
All right. Well, we'll enjoy it Friday night. And as always, thanks for helping us out this week.
All right. Thank you, Dennis.
All right. There's Paul Costanzo joining us from a gymnasium this afternoon where he's watching some middle school volleyball. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.